today as we come to the table.
For the Lord was moved to pity by the groaning, or rather by their groaning, because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. Again, look at the heart of God here. God has a heart for the people. Although they're willfully sinning against him, God is still brokenhearted and saying, I want to help them. And guys, right now, listen, as a nation, we are grieving God. And I know that we're pushing God and we're in the face of God, so to speak, but God still loves us. And God has compassion. And God is trying to reach us. And this is where the hope comes in this message, because God, if we will simply turn back to the Lord, then God will move, but we have to listen and we have to act on it.
The softness of God's heart, the gentleness of his temper, and the generous grace he offers are unmatched. There are no other so-called gods that offer and or can even guarantee that Jesus does. There are no other people who have even come close to living a perfect life like Jesus Christ did. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will highlight God's consideration and love. While you were stuck in your sin, while you were constantly denying God, he still pursued you, and he will continue to pursue you. Even through your rebellion, God shows his character by loving you unconditionally. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Judges, chapter 2, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Look at our nation as we have decided to turn away from God. And now we have a generation that is going a complete opposite direction of God, and even court cases. All of a sudden, we find ourselves in the midst of a nation that not only is hurting economically, but has $19 trillion in debt. And some even saying it would be impossible to ever even pay that back, that at some point, what we owe in interest is going to be more than what we can even pay on the loan, so to speak. And now much of America, whether you realize this or not, is owned by China. Because of loans from China. Much of American land, which many of you probably don't know, do your research, is actually owned by Russia. Russia's buying up American property. God says that is exactly what will happen to a nation that turns from me. He says, I will allow them to be plundered. He also says, I will begin to turn their nation over to another people. Do you see an influx in immigration? Do you see a push in this area? Listen, I'm all for immigration. This is not a political speech. I'm looking at the spiritual side. God says this, if you turn from me as a nation, I'll begin to bring in more foreigners and turn it over to them. If you turn from me as a nation, I'll begin to take away your economic wealth. I'll begin to plunder it and give it to others. If you turn from me, I'll bring calamity in all that you do. I'll become angry at you. And instead of defending you and there being fear of other nations of you in their heart, they're not going to fear you at all. This is exactly what was happening to the nation of Israel, and this is exactly what's happening to us. Notice he said he'd sold them into the enemy's hand. What it means is that the people around them were no longer afraid of them. When God brought them in the land, the Bible says God put a fear around them. And then as they begin to disobey God, God began to remove that fear. Guys, again, the same thing is happening with our nation. We used to be a nation that was feared around the world. People were afraid to mess with America. Now we have Russian fighter jets flying over the top of our carriers and scraping them, mocking us, making fun out of us. We have nations that are basically taking our equipment now over the Middle East and taking over regions of the Middle East that we had delivered and set free for other peoples. Now they're coming in and taking it back at free will, and we're doing nothing about it. And they don't fear that we will. This is the sign of a nation that is in retreat because God is removing his hand of blessing. So this has nothing to do. A lot of people want to blame politicians. A lot of people want to blame this and blame that. This has nothing to do with that. That certainly plays into it depending on where we are as a nation, and that's reflective of where we are as a nation. But we need to understand as a church and as a nation, guys, this is God dealing with America. What is happening is the Lord doing this. And he's trying to get our attention, and he's trying to wake us up. And this is exactly what he was doing again with the nation of Israel. Notice it says in verse 15, wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. Again, notice he says, wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, and they had great distress. Does anyone feel calamity and especially distress about where our nation is today? Feeling distress about the nation you're in is another sign that God is bringing chastisement in on the nation. You know, it's interesting. A good father and a good mother knows how to chastise their kids. I know what works with my kids for the most part. And I learned off the bat that if I give the same chastisement for all of them, it didn't really have any effect. If I was to say to one of them, you can't read for, 3 days or a week. If you do that, you have to put the book down. They'll be devastated. I can't read. I've got to read, right? If I told that to another one, they'd be saying, thank you. I don't read anyway, so bring it on. You let the consequences come. I don't care. Who wants to read, right? But I know what they like. If I say, all right, you can't do this, or you can't do that, or you can't whatever, watch movies for 3 days or whatever the case might be. Whatever the discipline might be, on that child, that child, and it brings in the pain that is necessary to get the response that's needed, and they respond. God does the same thing to America, even as he was doing to the nation of Israel. God knows that we like our lifestyle. He knows that we like our freedom. And if you'll notice, our lifestyle is slowly slipping away from us as Americans, economically and in other ways, and so are our freedoms. Guys, why is that? The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We'll be celebrating here on the 4th of July. Why did we celebrate that? Because God blessed us and His Spirit was welcome here and God gave us liberty as a nation. Now that we're turning away from God, we're seeing our liberties disappear one after another and it's happening gradually, just like the whole movie thing back and forth. We didn't even recognize what's going on. But guys, it's the hand of God. And why is God doing this? Because God allows oppression to come in on a people that turn from Him, so they'll turn back. It's a good father saying, you know what? No movies for a few days. You can't read for a while. He starts to do it gradually, and if we don't respond to God's chastisement, God turns up the heat. And so we have to be recognizing what God is doing. But here's the thing we have to realize as well. As I said, there's a balance to this. There's the soberness and there's the seriousness of the fact that God brings in chastisement on a nation that turns away from Him like He did to Israel, like I believe He's doing to America. But we also have the good side where there's hope in the Lord because, again, as any good father, He's bringing the consequences to drive us back to Him so that He can bless us. In other words, if we run back to the Lord, if we repent, the blessings of God will once again be poured out on us as a nation. And so God has that for us. Our job is simply to turn back. And He would have done this for the nation of Israel, and He does do it for them when they repent. So there's encouragement in this as well. I don't want it to be completely, oh no, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, through the whole study. No, God gives life and He gives hope for nations who turn back to Him. Look at verse 16. He says, nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, that is godly men, and we'll see in some cases godly women later on, who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Now, why is this encouraging? It's very encouraging because the nation of Israel was saying straight to God, we don't care what your word says. We're going to do what we want. And God in His compassion still raised up godly leaders to speak to them and say, what are we doing? We need to stop this. Let's turn back to God. And the reason that's hopeful, it shows God doesn't just throw us off a cliff and forget us. He cares about us. And He sends His messengers, not just in the pulpits, but even in the politics. In certain areas, God raises up moral leaders and those who will stand for the truth. Our job is to recognize them and be encouraged by them. And so the encouragement here is God still loves us, even in the midst of our open rebellion, and He tries to reach us. And yet, look at the response. And this is oftentimes the response that we see today as well around us. Verse 17, yet they would not listen. And I have not listened underlined. Because it wasn't that they couldn't hear. It's that they wouldn't hear. Guys, listen, the Bible is clear on some of the issues that are in our society today. It is not unclear. There's nothing about what God says is right and wrong that we can miss if we simply read it. But there are certain groups of people who say, I don't care what it says, I will not listen, and I will have my own way and go my own way. And this was the children of Israel. Notice they would not listen to their judges, that is the godly people, but they prayed, or rather played the harlot with other gods. And they bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so. So they walked the way the world walked, but they didn't walk in the way God wanted them to walk. And because of this, they committed spiritual adultery. It's interesting. He speaks here of them committing harlotry. What is that? Basically, it's honoring other things above God when God alone gets the honor. And especially things that are sinful and go against the Lord. You know, I think a lot of times we miss what a biblical God is because we read the Bible, and back then they had the little statue of Baal or the statue of Asherah or whatever different statues they had, and they had all these different things, and we say, well, we're not doing that. We don't have those. Guys, understand this. A God, according to Scripture, a God is anything that we honor above the Lord and give our worship to, our honor to, our attention, our passion to. That is a God. So we may be too sophisticated today to have little statues of this and that, but we still have our gods that we honor. And what he's saying is, if you have these gods over me, you're in spiritual adultery. It's harlotry. And so we need to understand that. Again, certainly they had actual idols, and we don't have that today. They, you know, but we still have the things that we honor today. Again, I look at the whole example of Baal and Asherah that they were worshiping. They literally would worship nature and set statues of Baal up as they did it. Today, we simply worship the environment and set up committees and force laws and change things because we're going to be the ones to do this. Guys, God is in control of our environment. Yes, we're to be good stewards, but this is like the fish in the fishbowl going, you know what? I think we need to fix this place up some. And so we need to take the resources that we have and the power that we have, and we need to make this the best fishbowl that it can be. And if fish could do that, that'd be great. Maybe it'd be a little bit cleaner on the inside. But I'll tell you this, it's up to the owner on the outside to make sure the water's clean, to make sure that they have plenty of oxygenated water, to make sure they have food, to make sure that everything's working. God is the one that controls the environment. And it is arrogant of man to think that somehow we can or somehow we do. It is simply being used by the enemy, I think, to move the world in one direction, which we know is going to happen in this unifying of the world. It is becoming a unifying world agent that the enemy is using. But if we begin to honor it above God, now we're worshiping nature. Sex is the same thing. We may not have statues, but oftentimes there's magazines with pictures. And we honor this. And in all the shows, the more sexy someone can be, the better. It's no different, but they're gods that we're serving. We just haven't given them names like these gods and honoring them in the same way. But they're still these gods that we're honoring and that we're lifting up. And notice this, the Lord says they would not listen, but look at verse 18. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by the groaning, or rather by their groaning, because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. Again, look at the heart of God here. God has a heart for the people. Although they're willfully sinning against him, God is still brokenhearted and saying, I want to help them. And guys, right now, listen, as a nation, we are grieving God. And I know that we're pushing God and we're in the face of God, so to speak, but God still loves us and God has compassion and God is trying to reach us. And this is where the hope comes in this message, because God, if we will simply turn back to the Lord, then God will move, but we have to listen and we have to act on it. But I love seeing the heart of God and his mercy in the midst of this. And notice verse 19, it came to pass when the judge was dead that they reverted and behaved more corruptly. Note that. More corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and to bow down to them. And they did not cease from their own doings nor from their stubborn ways. Guys, this is a huge verse in this to me. Because what he's saying is they started out right with God. They got further away and then God would raise up a judge. They would hold that position and then they'd get further away from God. He'd raise up another judge. And every time that they got another judge or every time they got farther away, they were starting from a smaller vantage point in their morality, in their righteousness. What do I mean? The point is this. God had the nation where he wanted them to be, but as they gave up territory to the enemy, that's the only territory they had left, even when God would raise up a judge. Let me give you an example and try to illustrate this, because I don't know if I'm being clear on this. I don't know that I even know what I'm saying, so give me a second. I do know, I'm kidding. But imagine a football field being 100 yards long, And all of a sudden, the professional football, the commissioner says, we're going to drop them down this coming season to 90 yards. There'd be a lot of people, 90 yards, what are you doing? Especially the football fans, you can't do that. 90 yards, now the 50s at the 45. You know, everything's changed. You know, there's smaller field. The touchdowns are going to increase. The passes, the kicks, everything changes. You can't do that. Nope, that's what we're doing. And he has the power to do it. And so it changes. And although you complain and gripe and grumble, by the end of the season, you accept it. We now have a 90-yard football field. There's nothing we can do about it. But maybe we'll get a new commissioner and he'll change things. And then a new commissioner comes along next season. And he goes, you know, I know you're upset about losing 10 yards. I really wish there's something I can do, but it's already law. We can't go back. We can't get that 10 yards back. Let's take the 90 yards we have left and let's do the best with it that we can. And so everybody's going, well, I don't like it, but okay, let's take this 90, do the best we can, and we've lost ground, but let's try it. And the whole season changes. And then all of a sudden, about mid-season, he comes in, takes another 10 yards away, and drops it down to 80 yards. And this is the new commissioner. And then everybody's complaining, and there's all this kerfuffle going on, and all these problems, and they can't change it because it's the law, and everybody's upset. But then finally, a new commissioner comes along, and don't worry, this is the last time I'll do this. We won't go down to 10 and all that. How long is this illustration, Pastor Mark? Anyway. But now we're dealing with 80 yards, and the commissioner, we need this change. We may never get back to 100 because we've come too far, but can we at least get back to 90? No, we can't even go back to 90. It's already in law, and it's already in place. There's nothing we can do about it now. Let's make the best we can. Let's do with the 80 yards we have left. That's what God is saying about the nation of Israel, and that's what is happening in our nation. We have given up so much land and so much territory in the form of godliness that even when some leaders raised up that wants us to hold the fort or maybe even go the other direction, it can't be changed. The laws are in place. This is all we have left. And I feel like that when we do see the church pray and godly leadership raise up or whatever the case might be, the best we can do is hold the fort. We can't take any territory. It's almost like a train going down the tracks. And the train is just going full steam and we see a cliff way down there and you're going, what has happened? Well, the bridge broke, you know, how do we stop this thing? We got to somehow stop it. The people on the train don't even know they're headed for destruction. They don't even know they're going to fall off the cliff. And the hero jumps on the horse. There he goes. And he's up beside it. He jumps inside, lands. He goes, he grabs the helm. Sparks start flying everywhere. Thank you, our hero. Tell the people you're slowing the train down, but it's not enough. I'm doing the best I can. Try to get the bridge built before we get there. We're trying. Let people just sparks flying everywhere, right? And yet the train still keeps moving. Okay, that's what I feel like was, that's what was happening with the nation of Israel, and that's what I feel like is happening in America. We're screaming down the tracks to destruction. There's a cliff that God's warning us about. And every so often we have a national leader, one or two, that is able to get up beside the train panting. They dive in sideways. They land because a lot of people didn't even really want them there. They start pulling the lever. And as soon as they pull the lever to slow things down, sparks start flying. How dare you? Oh, you're going to put your morality on us. You're like, I'm trying to save your life. Sparks, no, just, we don't want that. You don't. There's no bridge broken down there. We're not going to fall off of a cliff. We know where we're going. We're doing what we want. Right? And all we seem to be able to do is slow this thing down. You see, we're losing yardage every time a new leader gets in place. We've lost so much yardage that they can only start with the 80 yards they have left to work with. And if we as a nation don't repent, the church repent, the nation repent. We say, God, your word says it's one man, one woman. Hands off, we dare not touch it. You're God. Lord, your word says that abortion's wrong. We're going to stop killing babies. Lord, you're the Lord. We're not the Lord. Give us the land back, God. Give us the field back. We never should have lost it, but the desire is to get it back. And now all we're trying to do is slow abortion down. Now all we're trying to do is slow down the definition of marriage. We're just trying to keep this thing on the track before we all die. And I see that as God's mercy. I see that as God's grace because we are headed for destruction and really the whole world eventually we know will during the Great Tribulation. But I know this, until we get to the Great Tribulation, I want to do the best I can to pull back on that lever even if it causes sparks to fly on the tracks. And we're entering into a time right now, guys, where sparks are about to fly. If this thing passes next week, it's going to affect the church greatly. It'll affect the church in every area. And I'm not just talking about the loss of tax-exempt status and all those kind of things, which has been a huge blessing by God so the church can do more work. But if churches are against it, that'll be taken away at some point, eventually, very soon. And then there's going to be those that don't want to be called hater, and they don't want to be against society, and you're going to begin to see the church thin out. And there won't be some of you guys that are here this morning coming anymore. Because for you, it's just religion. You're just hanging out on Sunday morning. You're not about to do something where everybody hates you and they call you a bigot or a hater. It's like, I'm not with that group. That's the bad news. The good news is if that happens, those that left are going to be on fire for Jesus, and the church is going to be purified in America. And that's when God can begin to pour out his Spirit, because the real deal is now here. And so God was warning the nation, and God is warning us, and he's saying, hey, you better do something about it, because I've been long-suffering, and I've been gracious, but now I have to deal with it. And verse 20, it says, then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because this nation has transgressed, which means willful sin, not stumbling, not ignorance, knowing what God said and saying, I don't care what God says. I will do what I want anyway. Because this nation has done this and or transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and because they've done this and they've not heeded my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations with Joshua left when he died. In other words, you wanted it so bad, I'm going to let it remain in your nation. I'm going to allow the calamity. I'm going to allow the plundering of the national economy. I'm going to allow the increase in sexual diseases. If these are the things you want as a nation, I can't make you turn from it. All I can do is send pastors, send leaders, send Christians. But if you won't listen to them, then this is going to be the result. This is what's going to happen. And the problem is it's always too late until afterwards. And then once it's done, what do people do? There's nothing they can do. It's too late. And so the Lord says, this is where you're headed. Verse 22, so that through them, that is all these things that are oppressing you, I may test Israel, whether they will keep the ways of the Lord to walk in them as their fathers kept them or not. In other words, I'm going to divide the real from the fake. I'm going to allow these things to happen. I'm going to allow abortion to continue. I'm going to allow same-sex issues to gain more ground. I'm going to allow these different, whatever, you name the issue, whatever. There's just issues that are hot button at the moment. I'm going to allow those because I'm going to find out who loves me and who doesn't. I'm going to find out who's going to stand with me and who's not going to stand with me under the pressure. And I'm going to test them by this, and then I'll know those who love me as compared to those who don't love me. And so God allows these things to remain in a nation that have gone this far down the road so that that nation can be tested and be proven. And again, his church, his people could be purified in the nation of Israel, and we can be purified as a nation within the church and those who stand with God. So sad, yes, but a purifying effect is the result. Verse 23, therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out immediately, nor did he deliver them into the hand of Joshua. Notice it says he didn't drive them out immediately. That means that God still desired to bless the nation of Israel. He still desired to drive out their enemies and to pour out his Spirit on them as a nation again. But he was waiting to see if they were going to make a stand against the evil that had come in, or if they were going to go with it and keep going down that road of what they wanted rather than what God wanted. Guys, I see the book of Judges as a warning from the Lord and also as very hopeful. And that's how I want to leave it today. I don't want to leave it just the warning. I don't want this just to be, okay, we're all doomed. The train's definitely going to fall off the track. Look, God can rebuild the bridge or stop the train if he wants to, but God is waiting on us. All God is saying is, church, turn back to me.
Thanks for being with us today here on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. This radio program is an outpouring of the ministry happening at Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. There are many intriguing stories from the book of Judges, but one of the ones that stands out to me is the story of Gideon. He put out that fleece three times to get a clearer answer or direction from God. God worked with Gideon in this, and he showed up mightily. In fact, God wanted to show what he could do with fewer people so that his ability to come through for his people would be evident. Instead of thousands to fight against their opponent, God had Gideon go up against the enemy with a few hundred men. This is how God works many times, coming in clutch at the last minute and doing things in such an unconventional way that you can only point to God for the answer and the solution. Do you have situations that have occurred in your life where you can claim that it was all God who orchestrated it all? I know I do. And I try to remember those instances so I don't forget God's goodness and his plan in it all. If you'd like to share any of those times or situations that you've experienced, would you give us a call at 865-609-1385? We'd love to hear from our listeners about how God is working in their lives. That number again to call is 865-609-1385. 1385. You can also learn more about this ministry by going to thewaymedia.net. Thanks for learning and growing from the Book of Judges here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.